Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is Wednesday. Free agent frenzy continues, especially with quarterbacks live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Super agent Drew Rosenhaus joins me in 1 hour, and Joy Taylor is joining me here live, of course. Joy, how are you?
Better than Bears fans.
Oh. It's just a couple things you got to get right as a GM. You can make mistakes. That quarterback thing is pretty important.
That was a disappointment yesterday, to say the least.
So the Bears settled 1 year, $10 million on Andy Dalton. We love to blame coaches, and we love to blame quarterbacks. Yesterday was lousy GMing by Ryan Pace of the Bears. So since he took the job, here's the four quarterbacks he's gone and acquired. Mike Glennon cost him a fortune. Traded for him. Mike Glennon. Traded up to get Mitch Trubisky. Didn't have to. Could have still landed him. Nick Foles made him the most expensive backup in the NFL. And then Andy Dalton. Nice guy, but this is an easy one. The Bears' offense needs a playmaker. It's why Mitch Trubisky actually won. Marcus Mariota is a better fit than Dalton. Sam Darnold, hard to get perhaps, better fit than Dalton. Deshaun Watson, perfect, probably couldn't afford him. The worst literal fit for this Bears offense, which is an average offensive line, outside of Allen Robinson, very weak skill people. The worst fit is a non-playmaking distributor with a low ceiling. That's Andy Dalton. Marcus Mariota would have worked here. I mean, in order of perfect fit, Deshaun 1, Darnold 2, Mariota 3, Trubisky 4. Remember, Trubisky shouldn't have won games in Chicago. It's the windiest city in America. Northern, cold weather, and they also played road games, you know, like in Green Bay. Not a very strong arm, and not a very gifted thrower. And it's windy. He should never have won games. But he actually did. Why? Because he's a good athlete. And he ran around, and despite an average offensive line, and Tariq Cohen gets hurt, and one decent receiver, Mitch Trubisky has a winning record. His, like, all-time winning percentage is, like, right around Bill Parcells. He actually won games. I think Matt Nagy's a pretty clever coach. But when there are indications in Andy's career, and they're right in a resume, that if you give him a lot of good targets, early Cincinnati and Dallas last year, you can win games with Andy Dalton. I mean, Dallas, if you count the game he came back against the Giants, he was 5-5. But you can't ask Andy to make plays with average wide receivers and an average O-line. And not only is Ryan Pace, the GM, bad at the quarterback thing, he's not good at the public perception thing, and that matters in a city like Chicago. It's the third biggest city in America, highly educated. This is a city of smart sports fans. They know what they're doing. The smartest people in the Midwest gravitate to Chicago. And you got smart, a lot of college degrees. They know their sports. There's a lot of history. You can't fool Chicago sports fans. They're a little bit like Boston fans, but nicer. And Ryan Pace butchers the public perception thing. Remember years ago, he went and he signed Mike Glennon to a huge contract. They had a draft party, and he drafts Mitch Trubisky with Mike Glennon at the draft party. Not good. Then he gets involved in the Russell Wilson sweepstakes. Those go public. There's a multiple stories out today on those. And he settles for Andy Dalton. So listen, you can make a lot of mistakes as a GM. But when you get in a Boston or a New York or a Philly or a Chicago, you get into these diehard northern sports towns, you got to get the quarterback right. And you got to get the public perception stuff right. Chicago's got teeth as a sports town. And, right, that was lousy GMing. Like, this is the worst literal fit. And Matt Nagy's going to lose his job over this. And he can coach. By the way, The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. All right, let's shift to something more optimistic. So Deshaun Watson, I've stayed off this for the last couple of days because I really don't know where it's going. So Deshaun Watson, like Russell Wilson, has now given teams. He doesn't want to play with Miami. He doesn't want to play in New York. He doesn't appear to want to play in Carolina. Deshaun Watson came out and said, I want to be in Denver or San Francisco. Okay, if you're Denver and John Elway, since Peyton Manning left, is 0-9 on quarterbacks. John Elway's smart, went to Stanford, great quarterback. He can't get it right. If you are Denver, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Drew Locke, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rippon, get on the phone and get it done. You have, when Deshaun Watson comes out, he has a no trade clause and says, as two teams I really want to play for, you're one of them. And you got to think about your surroundings. So think about the division Denver is in now. They not only have to face Mahomes, Mahomes has Andy Reid. Oh boy. They not only have to face Justin Herbert, but Tom Telesco, the GM, just signed the best center. They're upgrading their O-line. Oh boy. You not only have to face Gruden and Carr, well, you face Gruden and Carr. Laugh at the Raiders all you want. Those two work. The last 2 years, those two work. Translation, you're going to be in six shootouts, minimum a year. You're going to be in six shootouts. You do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson. Because when the quarterback has a no-trade clause, for the record, this is why Chicago went after Russell. Because Russell said, I want to play there. Okay, you get on the phone. Okay. And this is the new NFL. The LA Rams, the two best quarterback divisions in football are the AFC West and the NFC West. The LA Rams had Jared Goff. He won 70% of his games with McVay. He won 10 games last year in a playoff game. And they're like, no, it's not good enough. Because we got Kyler Murray in our division. He's getting better. And we've got Russell Wilson twice a year in our division. And Kyle Shanahan and Garoppolo, or Kyle Shanahan in anybody, has owned us in Los Angeles. And so they upgraded over a winning quarterback, Jared Goff. So Denver is in probably even a better quarterback division than the Rams, and they're bad. The Rams are in a little less viable quarterback division, and they were good. So, like, to me, this is, if here's some numbers for you that are pretty staggering. You would have thought, and I had John Elway on the show about a year ago and talked about this. You'd think Elway could get the quarterback right. Maybe he struggles drafting defense. It's the opposite. Since Peyton Manning has retired, this is staggering. Denver is 30th in completion percentage, 31st in passing touchdowns, and 31st in passer rating. You can solve all of those with a move. So you get very fortunate when a star quarterback, he's been in the league a few years, he's got a no-trade clause. So Carolina yesterday came out, and apparently they're all in on Deshaun Watson. He has shown no interest to play for Carolina. So that can just be a pipe dream. He literally listed two teams, San Francisco and Denver. And it should be noted, San Francisco would probably love him, but they just made Trent Williams the highest paid left tackle. And remember, Bosa's contract's up next year, and Kittle's contract is a year away from exploding. And they just paid their fullback, the highest fullback contract. So San Francisco would love to get kind of inexpensive at quarterback. That's why it makes sense for the Niners to move up. They have the 12th pick, move up, get that Trey Lance. Then Trent Williams' contract doesn't mean anything. Bosa's contract, Kittle's contract, it don't mean anything. So, I mean, the cap, you can manipulate all of it. We'll talk to Drew Rosenhaus in an hour. You can manipulate all of this stuff. But if you look at San Francisco, they've got now the highest paid fullback, highest paid left tackle. George Kittle will be the second highest paid tight end. They got a lot of highest paid guys. And you would like to get really cheap at quarterback. Sam Darnold is cheap for a year and probably not too expensive after that. But I could when I saw Deshaun Watson say San Francisco, I thought, yeah, it'd be great. Denver doesn't have that many contracts. They've got a lot of young offensive pieces. So Deshaun says, interested in Denver. Denver's got easily the fourth best quarterback. John Elway's 0-9. That is the door now swings open for Denver. Make calls. That is a game-changing, franchise-changing opportunity when the star quarterback names you, and he did. So we are loaded today. I'll tell you, there are the Russell Wilson-Pete Carroll relationship. It's official now. All of it's out there. What happened? Who met? How serious? All that now is officially out. I'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned, serving premium coffee to people who love America. Go to blackriflecoffee.com, code HERD, 20% off your first coffee club order. Nick Wright in 15 minutes. Drew Rosenhaus, the super agent, joins us top of the hour. So the Seattle-Chicago stuff, I always like this. When I hear something from sources, and then like 4 or 5 days later it comes out, and it's all true. And I think, okay, I had good sourcing on this. So about 4 or 5 days ago, I said, Chicago's making a huge run. Somebody I trust, a huge run on Russell Wilson. They're meeting, they're talking, and Seattle's listening. And so Ian Rappaport, a great NFL reporter, came out and said that, yes, Ryan Pace and John Snyder met in North Dakota right after Trey Lance's pro day. They sat down, they talked, offers were exchanged. The Bears made a big offer, multiple first-round picks. That's what I was told. Seahawks slept on it. Seahawks discussed it. And then yesterday, Pete Carroll said, I'm 70, I'm too old to rebuild again, and that's how it ends. They're going to keep Russell Wilson. Now, the age thing is something this show, every show talked about. It was obvious. It's why Nick Saban to Texas, remember those rumors years ago? I was like, Nick's like 65. I'm not sure if he wants to rebuild again at 65 years old. Rebuilding is like a 50-year-old guy thing. It's not a 70 or late 60-year-old guy thing. And so this is the best result for Seattle, obviously. First of all, you were never going to get fair trade value. Second of all, there's a ton of dead cap money. And third, there was no quarterback exchange. The Raiders made a little sense because you could get Derek Carr. Chicago didn't make much sense. So, and the other thing is, I don't think Pete and Russell were ever meant to be close. There are quarterback coaching connections that I think feel like they should work. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid's he's a mentor. He's a very clever play designer, and Patrick Mahomes, a very clever playmaker. Perfect. Sean Payton, Drew Brees, both intense, both smart and clever, both innovative. That works. Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, young, successful, good-looking, always looking for new stuff guys. Those feel like they should work. But Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, it's not really ideal. At best, it should be respectful and professional. Pete, 70, defensive-minded, would prefer running the ball, likes control, bit of a rock star. Russell Wilson's always been overlooked, would rather pass the ball. He's young. He has an ad-lib component in the offense that really makes him. Pete's not a big fan of ad-libbing. So this has never felt like a perfect relationship. By the way, Brady Belichick was never perfect. One guy was happier, one guy was grumpier. But they did start at the bottom together. That mattered. So remember, Belichick was on the hot seat after that first year in New England, and here's Brady. So they started at the bottom together, and they were both aspirational. But if you look at it in Seattle, this relationship's always felt a little uneven, that Pete's gotten more credit than Russell. And you have to remember, Pete was already a rock star when he got there, okay? And then even when he drafted Russell Wilson and Russell Wilson started blowing us all away, Pete got credit for it. Oh, Pete found him. Unbelievable. Pete Carroll's unbelievable. So Russell didn't even get credit for being great. It was, Pete found him in the third round. And then Russell, add to that, never gotten an MVP vote. Sacked 400 times in 9 years. Doesn't get much say in the offense. I'm not making excuses, but I get Russell Wilson and what's in his head right now. I get hit a lot. I got no say. I don't get an MVP vote. And even when I broke into this league and shocked the franchise, the coach got credit. So this relationship to me, it's not ideal. It's a little uneven in terms of who's getting credit and who has the power. But I think Brady and Belichick figured it out. Do you have the same goal? Are you both aspirational? Yes, yes. And you just make it work. I do think, and I'll get to this later, I do think there is a free agent move for Seattle that could be an olive branch to Russell Wilson. And actually, because Pete Carroll's gotten beaten up in the last year by media people, would put the heat back on Russell Wilson. I'll talk about that coming up. First, Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, following Drew Brees' retirement announcement, the Saints have Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill locked up as their two quarterback options heading into next season. And during an appearance with Dan Patrick, Sean Payton was asked if he believes the team is now set at that position.
I think we are. And look, I've told both of them, it's going to be, you know, the two of you are going to compete for this position. And they understand it. And they'll come in. We've already had a chance to see both of them to some degree.
Now, the Saints were obviously also on Russell Wilson's list of possible destinations, right, but wouldn't be able to offer what Chicago is offering.
Okay, so this year is going to be interesting. I think two quarterbacks are going to have really good years, and a lot of people have bailed on them. Remember, Drew Brees was damaged goods when he got to Sean Payton. Everybody needs a kingmaker, and he got his. Nobody can do it on an island. Brady needed Belichick. So I think Jameis, second year with Sean Payton, we're going to look up in 1 year from today and go, oh, yeah, he always was talented. And I think Matt Ryan with Arthur Smith, we're going to look up in a year and go, yeah, they really didn't need to draft a quarterback. So why? Because I think both have found the fit for them schematically in coaching that works. So I think in 1 year, we're not going to stop talking about Atlanta drafting a quarterback. And I think in 1 year, we're going to view Jameis Winston as a franchise quarterback again. I do think it was perfect. Came in, sat back, watched it work. And the other thing that worked for Jameis is that they've got this quirky curveball backup guy. So in these red zone, you know, where it gets very clogged, Jameis can make mistakes. You put Taysom Hill in those red zone spots, he's great, very tough to defend. So I think it's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I said yesterday, I don't normally like quarterback competitions. That usually means that you don't have anybody who's good enough to announce as the starter before the camp starts. But in this situation, because Sean Payton has been so creative with that offense and has used Taysom in such unique ways, and we know that Jameis can be an everyday starter and productive, albeit with a lot of mistakes, if you can cut the mistakes in half and keep the same production on the other side.
Clap team.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
So the Bills have agreed to a deal with Emmanuel Sanders. It's for 1 year, $6 million, and that includes another $500,000 in incentives. Obviously, he spent last season with the Saints, but was released as they were working to get under the salary cap, which they very much needed to do. This is a great move for the Bills. Bills now, with Josh Allen, have Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, Gabriel Davis, Devin Singletary, Zach Moss.
So they have Buffalo is basically showing you how to do it. So they draft Josh Allen. First, they rebuild the O-line. Then they get him a slot guy. Then they get him an over-the-top guy. And now they get him a great two guy. Like, this is how you support a young quarterback.
And they committed to him and stuck with him, even though everyone else bailed on him and went through the process of developing him. Now, obviously, he had the talent to develop into, but they saw it in the building. I was not convinced on Josh Allen at all. And we live in a very microwave society. I mean, I'm not convinced about Tua. But that's why I wish that they had just committed to him for the year. Let him rise or fall and see what you have. When you make a commitment to a young quarterback like that, you need to put them in those positions. That's why I don't like when they don't start week one. Like, why not? You have this grace period when you take a quarterback that high in the draft to see what they are. Even if they aren't great, you have to let them be great or not be great. And the Bills, to your point, have completely committed to it and they're building in the right way. I think that's a great addition for them. So, speaking of the Dolphins, they lost Ryan Fitzpatrick this week, but they found a replacement in the quarterback room. Jacoby Brissett has agreed to a one-year deal with Miami. Obviously spent last season as Philip Rivers' backup in Indy, and will now fill that same role in Miami. I love this move for the Dolphins.
Well, he's a grown-up. He's also, right now, he's a better quarterback than Tua.
Yes and yes. That's the only thing that gives me some concern, is I don't want him to walk in there and then they do the same thing that they did with Ryan Fitzpatrick with Tua.
But what you're really seeing is this. You know, I'm always really tough on Baker Mayfield and quarterbacks that can be immature, right? Who signed contracts yesterday? Tyrod Taylor. Grown up. Jacoby Brissett. Grown up. Like, folks, this maturity thing is 50% of it for quarterbacks. Drew Luck has more talent than Tyrod Taylor and Jacoby Brissett as an arm talent. Denver wants out. So stop arguing when I'm tough on guys for maturity. Tyrod Taylor, literally every time a team is like, okay, we got to get a grown-up here for a year, they go to their phone, Tyrod Taylor. Like, this is why. And Tyrod is not a world-class, not a big arm guy, but you know you have an adult in the room.
It's consistency.
Yeah, so like this, that's why a lot of these guys, you know, Chase Daniel, the quarterback, made a ton of money. Why? He's great in the room. He's a mentor, Josh McCown. This maturity thing for quarterbacks is how you keep making $9, $10, $12 million a year and be a really highly... How good is that? I make $12 million and never get hit.
Oh, yeah. If you are a high-level backup quarterback, that's a great job to have in the NFL.
Maturity has made Chase Daniel worth $80
million. Look at Ryan Fitzpatrick. How many years has he been playing now? He just continues to go land on teams and in some cases ends up starting.
It's one of those things where I've had Eric Mangini's told me this. Like, it's a thing in the NFL. Somebody to lubricate the quarterback room. Because a lot of time the coach is barking at the quarterback. Can you find a quarterback you can put in there, puts his arm around the franchise guy and says, I got this.
Well, like, especially if you have a young guy who's still learning how to be a pro.
Yep. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Co-host of First Things First, my buddy Nick Wright is now joining us live. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So, I know you love Chicago. I love Chicago's a great sports town. And Ryan Pace is not popular today. The Andy Dalton, I could argue, is the literal worst fit possible. What was your, for a city you love and go to occasionally, what was your takeaway on Andy Dalton to the Bears?
Well, anytime you have the opportunity to sign a guy for no draft compensation and $3 million. And you're like, no, instead we'll give Nick Foles $21 million and a fourth round pick. And then a year later, give the guy you could have signed $10 million and you still have Foles. It's not a great day for you, Colin. And when it's leaked out, like, hey, Russell Wilson wants to be there and you can't make that trade happen, it only compounds it. I happen to think Matt Nagy might be a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
If you look at Matt Nagy, I think he's like 28-20. And you look at the quarterback situations like, oh, I just think Pace's first big decision was hiring John Fox. That wasn't great. He traded up for Mitch Trubisky. That wasn't great. The quarterback situation, it hasn't been great. And I saw you lay out the reasons that Dalton is the exact wrong option and the different quarterback decisions he's made. It's not ideal. And if you're Chicago, if you're a Bears fan, I would be a little nervous in this regard. Not just because you have Andy Dalton as your quarterback, that always makes you nervous, but because there is nothing more dangerous in sports than having a GM who knows, if I don't win right now, I'm fired. Because he doesn't have to then worry about the future of the franchise. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears make some type of impulsive move to try to coat over what is the quarterback situation. And also, Colin, one last thing. I think you've said this, but I just want to reiterate the point. Since Sid Luckman, the best quarterback they've had is Jay Cutler. That's 70 years, and the best they've had is Jay Cutler. That ain't great. It's really not great.
So, by the way, Elway's 0-9 since Peyton Manning, and Deshaun Watson I mean, if I'm John Elway and I read in the paper this morning, Deshaun Watson says, I want to play for Denver, San Francisco. I don't even think there's a ceiling on what I could give. I mean, Elway basically had to step out of the GM role because he couldn't get the quarterback right. Otherwise, he'd still be there.
That's right.
So your takeaway on Deshaun just naming Denver.
My takeaway is if Deshaun is traded, he will be the most valuable player ever traded in NFL history. Now, we've had better players traded. Randy Moss got traded. But a 25-year-old franchise quarterback on a reasonable contract, there has never been a more valuable, if you want to use this term, asset that changed hands in NFL history. So there is no price too high to pay, especially when you're Denver. And the one time you've gotten the quarterback situation right was, oddly enough, when Houston could have signed Peyton Manning but wanted to stick with Matt Schaub, so he picked you as his second choice. Since Elway, they've gotten the quarterback right once, and it's when Peyton Manning fell in their lap. So I agree with you. Now, I am a little disappointed because your old buddy Nick Wright is old enough to remember when Uncle Colin was Drew Lock this, Drew Lock that. Are we sure about Mahomes? I love Drew Lock. Now you're throwing him out with yesterday's garbage, but, you know, it's better late than never. I agree with you. If he wants to go to Denver, anything you can trade would not be too much.
So now the word's out. Ian Rappaport's Seattle, Chicago, they met, they talked, there were offers, they slept on it. And Pete Carroll's like, I'm 70, I don't want to rebuild. You know, I look at it and I think, you know, Russell did kind of call out the offensive line. It's not great. I do feel that Pete's gotten too much credit, Russell not enough for the success. Where do you stand on that relationship today?
Well, where I stand is it's very, I think both parties are somewhat misplaying their hand. Seattle, I think, is misplaying it because if the guy wanted offensive linemen, why didn't you sign one? Kevin Zeitler was available. He played with Russ at Wisconsin. Baltimore grabs him. Joe Tooney's available. The Chiefs get him. Trent Williams, I guess he wasn't going to leave San Francisco because they gave him all that money. He stays there. Like, the quality offensive linemen that you could have signed are going by the wayside. I think Russ misplayed his hand because his list was a bad list, Colin. You had Dallas. If Dallas was going to trade Russ for Dak, fine, but they weren't, so take them off. You have the Saints. He might as well have demanded a trade to the Brooklyn Nets. It has likelihood of happening. The Saints can't make the money work. You have Chicago. Chicago was interested, but Chicago can't provide the draft pick to get you the quarterback. And then you had the Raiders, seemingly because Russ wanted a good offensive line, and the Raiders' answer to that was, how about we cut all of our offensive linemen? And so now I feel like unless Russ is going to come up with a new list, Seattle is sitting there saying, well, is the grass always greener? My answer would be your franchise in its entire history had pre-Russell Wilson had one kind of fun moment with Matt Hasselbeck and Sean Alexander. And other than that, you've been the team in the Pacific Northwest that nobody really cares about. And then you had Russell Wilson, and you are a premier franchise. Do everything you need to do to make him happy, but it doesn't seem like that's the route they're wanting to take. And I don't know that Russ has a great option, at least this offseason, as far as a team that's going to trade for him.
So I was, and Joy and I had said, Cam Newton, bring him back. There's not a lot of options on the market. You're not going to get Darnold. I thought it made sense. And, you know, I said yesterday, if you'd have said this a couple years ago, the greatest quarterback ever left a franchise, and you'd be like, well, how did they do the next year? They were 7-9 in a pandemic. And then the next year, they brought the quarterback back, and they actually went 10-6. You'd be like, well, that's not terrible. Brady's just been so successful that it makes New England look pathetic. Right. And then the free agency happens, and I'm like, they look like a playoff team again with Cam Newton. They honestly do this morning. That your takeaway on their free agency frenzy.
Well, I think that the playoff team might come down to is Cam healthier? Because, and you know, I love Cam. And I've watched every game Cam's played as a pro, in part because I think I've bet on Cam in almost every game he's played as a pro. It hasn't always worked out for me. But he did not look right last year. He was one-hopping passes with some regularity. Let's assume he's right. Then, yeah, I think they absolutely, especially with the expanded playoffs, can contend. And who's to say Buffalo won't take a step back? Hey, Bills Mafia, I'm still here, still doubting you guys. But I do think the free agency frenzy, the bigger story there is, it's Bill Belichick tacitly admitting he has blown it in the draft the last half decade. They signed two tight ends. Well, they drafted two third-round tight ends a year ago. They signed two wide receivers. Well, they drafted a first-round receiver and traded a second-rounder for Mohamed Sanu a couple years ago. They have not been able to hit on these draft picks. Here is a wild stat, Colin. Aside from their punter, the last Pro Bowler the Patriots drafted was Jamie Collins in 2013.
Wow.
So one of the reasons you got to go out there and spend is because Bill Belichick, the head coach, has been an A+. But Bill Belichick, the GM, has had some rough moments up to and including evaluating Tom Brady, I suppose, and saying, you know what? Nick Wright has it right. The guy's cooked. He shouldn't have listened to me. He should have listened to everyone else who said, maybe you stick with the GOAT. Maybe you just run it back with Tom Brady.
Let me ask you a basketball question. Have to. You are an advocate of all things sure. LeBron James. Once again, as I've said with Anthony Davis, he's not an 82-game guy. That's not who he is. We don't want our quarterbacks throwing 60 times a game. We don't want our running backs with 40 carries. It's okay to realize certain players give you certain things. AD, to me, is 58 games. Rest him in playoffs. That does beg the question, so the Lakers have a winning record without AD and just LeBron carrying them. He is the MVP, right? Like, it feels obvious, right?
Well, right. It was very close. It was LeBron and Embiid, or Embiid with LeBron. But Embiid's, the biggest thing against him was he had missed a half dozen games, and now he's going to be out a few more weeks. And now it's LeBron and a massive gap between he and everyone else. But I will tell you what's going to happen, Colin. What's going to happen is LeBron is going to stay, for a lot of people, watch this now, he'll be in second place all year, and the person in first is going to rotate. It was Embiid. Here in about a week, you know what it's going to be? You know who the MVP is. Nothing against LeBron. It's James Harden. And then a few weeks after that, when Kevin Durant comes back and Harden's numbers go down a bit, you know what people are going to say? Guys, we can't hold the playoffs against Giannis. It's a regular season award. Nothing against LeBron. Giannis is the MVP. And I can't wait for it. By the end of the season, you know what the argument's going to be?
What?
Guys, Nikola Jokic, look at his numbers. The Joker, he's the MVP. And this whole time, we're going to be like, or it's the best guy on the best team who plays damn near every night. And I'm going to add a little bonus take for you, Colin.
All right.
In 2017 and 2018, one of the reasons people argued against voting for LeBron, 2017, coming off the title, 2018, when Kyrie had left and the Cavs were still awesome, was because, guys, you got to play both ways. And LeBron doesn't care about defense. Well, right now the Lakers have the number one defense in basketball by a mile. The gap between them and second place is bigger than the gap between second place and 10th place. And Anthony Davis isn't anchoring that defense. LeBron James is. So if it's going to be LeBron versus Harden or LeBron versus Jokic, and you've held defense against him when he was lackadaisical on that end, then this year, when he's a defensive player of the year candidate, it's got to work for him. So I disagreed with you and Joy last year. Last year, I thought Giannis was the MVP. This year, up to this point, there's no question it's LeBron James. And that's not because I'm an advocate for all things LeBron James, as you said it. I'm an advocate for truth and fairness in media.
Yes.
And that, my friend, is truth and fairness in media.
That was one of your stronger
bonus takes.
I hear
Joy snickering.
No. That was just
a bonus take.
I mean, that was a bonus take. That wasn't even one of your takes. That was a very strong bonus take. Seriously, that's no, like the,
yeah. the toy and a happy meal.
I am snickering, though.
The chef comes out at the end of the meal and gives you free something, you know, a little something. It's the best thing in the meal. You'd be like, wow, that was a good freebie.
Yeah.
Excellent work, Nick Wright. Appreciate that. Correct. First things first.
Thank you. Good to see you guys.
Good
Bye.
To see you guys and you. Why the Buffalo Bills may be the best run team in the NFL. And Pete Carroll can offer an olive branch to Russell Wilson and actually shift the blame off Pete and the pressure on Russell. Very interesting. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eat at Jersey Mike's and help a great local cause. It's their month of giving, 200 charities. They donate 100% of the day's sales to a local charity Wednesday, March 31st. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. It's Wednesday in the Herd. We get fed today. Hey, Raiders have a very good center, Rodney Hudson. They did. He wanted out. They granted him a wish. Rodney Hudson, center for the Raiders, is on the market. Seattle, hello. This is a great opportunity, okay? Rodney Hudson is a top 6 or 7, 8 center in the NFL. So Seattle's offensive line, which has been the big agitation play with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. And Pete, his offensive line moves have been hit and miss, USC and Seattle, hit and miss. So I never liked that he gave up Max Unger. So Duane Brown's a very good left tackle. That's not the issue. Last year, John Snyder and Pete draft Damian Lewis, right guard. Very nice fit. But they're weak at center and don't have a left guard and average at best at right tackle. If you bring in Rodney Hudson, you not only now probably have a top 10 offensive line with an elite left tackle, an elite center, Damian Lewis at right guard looks like a real player, but you also, not only do you offer an olive branch to Russell Wilson, but there's a little strategery involved, is that Pete Carroll's gotten clobbered in Seattle and by the national press for the last year. Pete signs Rodney Hudson. The weakest part of their team right now is corner because Shaq Griffin left, and O-line. Now the pressure swings over to Russell Wilson's side. It's like, hey, okay, we got you left tackle who's top 6, center that's top 5, 6. We took care of this. And we got you DK Metcalf. Then all of a sudden, Pete can say, all right, we got your new offensive coordinator. And I saw this morning, Jake Heaps is a former college quarterback and a very good friend of Russell Wilson. And he went to Twitter and said, I'd be very disappointed if the Seahawks don't make a move on Rodney Hudson. That's probably coming from Russell Wilson. I know, Jake, and that's coming, and that's fine. Russell doesn't want to go out there again. So this is a great opportunity to upgrade the O-line. Pete likes to run the football anyway. Rodney Hudson's a great O-lineman. Seattle's a little lucky. It's a pretty good offensive line. It's a very good center market right now in free agency. Chargers just got Cole Linsley, who's probably the best or second best in the league. Olive branch, push the pressure now on Russell Wilson. We got your new OC, got your good O-line, got your DK Metcalf. Boom. Interesting idea. I thought Buffalo, you know, free agency, I said this yesterday, money and alcohol just make you more of what you are. Free agency, the smart teams are just getting smarter. So the Buffalo Bills, real smart team, go get Emmanuel Sanders. The last three GMs to get Emmanuel Sanders, Brandon Bean, Buffalo, super sharp. John Lynch, San Francisco, super sharp. And then Mickey Loomis, San Francisco. He's not a long-term number one fix, but he's a good player. He plays big. He learns the playbook. It's funny about GMing. It's you don't need Elon Musk to do this. Okay, there's three basic rules to me to be a general manager. And I'm not saying there's not a lot of context and it's easy. But number one, don't overspend in free agency. Go get Emmanuel Sanders for $6 million. Don't try to hit one big home run. Sprinkle it around multiple players that add value to your franchise and don't break the bank. Don't overspend on free agency. Number two, be flexible in the draft. Be able to pivot. Cincinnati never moves. Rams are constantly, Seahawks are constantly moving. New England constantly trading up, trading down. Be flexible in the draft. And number three is, this is hard for men. Admit your mistakes. Pete Carroll has whiffed on first-round picks. Belichick has whiffed on first-round picks. Just don't be stubborn. 90% of guys on this planet are stubborn. Just own it. Belichick's like, I butchered my tight end picks. I butchered N'Keal Harry. Belichick's like, yeah, all right, I'm going to go buy him. Steve Keim, by the way, drafts Josh Allen. And he's like, no, I'm go get a new coach, a new quarterback. Now they're viable. So it's not impossible to do this job. I'm not saying it's easy, but there are basic rules. And, you know, the Jets, conversely, let's go home runs. Yeah, C.J. Mosley. We always want a home run. Le'Veon Bell. It doesn't work. So the Bills show you how to run a franchise. They draft Josh Allen. He's a wild horse. He's talented, but kind of a can't corral him, can't get your arms right. Year two, four new offensive linemen, and Cole Beasley. And year three, let's get him a star wide receiver. Now, here we go. Year four, Emmanuel Sanders. So O-line slot, they hit double. You don't have to hit home runs. You can hit a lot of doubles. The Buffalo Bills, four offensive linemen, Cole Beasley, Emmanuel Sanders, and Stephon Diggs. Five doubles, one home run. Don't have to knock it out of the park. Just Emmanuel Sanders, your classic double, plays big, learns the playbook, been good in big games. Boom. That's how you run a franchise. Drew Rosenhaus, hour two, the super agent. Next.